with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has a phrase. I have not found a phrase in Shas. But Tavkuf Bebei, say that Tfilas Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The term Aseres Yimei Tshuva, I have not found in Shas yet. The Gemara talks about Asar Yom Mishmei Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. But Aseres Yimei Tshuva, I didn't find it in Shas. But in the Shulchan Aruch we have it. And then the Shulchan Aruch begins to follow. Be Yud Yimei Tshuva Oymer HaMelech HaKodesh. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that there are 10 days of Tshuva. And this caught my eye. If we examine the Machzor for Yom Kippur, you almost can't turn three lines without the word tshuva. If you examine the Machzor for Rosh Hashanah, as I say, you can look with lecht, you know, search for the word tshuva, and it's pretty hard to find. I think there's more times the word tshuva on the weekday davening than on the Rosh Hashanah davening. Twice. In the Rosh Hashanah machzor, you could look and look and look. I couldn't. Only in the Sanatayka. With tshuva, tefillah tzedakah. It's about the only mention of tshuva in the entire machzor. So as I say, on a weekday, I think we have more mentions of tshuva. We mention tshuva more often than we do on Rosh Hashanah. So, it does not seem that the essence of Rosh Hashanah is tshuva, number one. Number two, we can't really do tshuva if we want to. Why do I say that? The Dubna Magid writes, Vidui is a double-edged sword. You have to be very careful with Vidui. Come to court and you plead guilty. Well, listen. If the judge had a fight with his wife at breakfast today, he got into a car accident on the way to court, and he walked in the building and the administrative judge dressed him down, and then you're the first one to walk into his courtroom, I don't envy you. If, on the other hand, he won the lottery yesterday and won $10 million. This morning his favorite son came home from the army. He walks into court and they want to give him a commendation. And then you walk in and plead guilty. Maybe you'll get probation. So the Rebbe Magid said the same is true in Shemayim too. If they're into me, the Sorachamim, so pleading guilty is a good plan. If they're into me the Sadin, then pleading guilty is not such a good plan. So we have to be very, very careful about Vidui. I believe that that's the reason. I'm puzzled a little bit by the structure of the tefillah during the year in Nusach Sfar, but it could be we're not so medactic because of the fact that it's not Yom HaNerom. In Yom HaNerom, we are extra careful. The Seder of Slichas, which will begin Motzei Shabbos, we have various piyutim which deal with the Yonah of Tshuva to inspire us. After each of them, we have the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim. Then we come to Shema Kaleinu, and first after that, we recite the Vidui. So the way I understand the structure of the Slichas is the essence of what we're trying to get to is the Vidui. But we don't want to get to the Vidui until we invoke the Midas Rachamim. So we have the Yud Gimel Midas a number of times over each day, and then we first come to the Vidui. What I don't understand, in Nusach Sfar the whole year, when they do the Tachnun, first they do the Vidui, and then they do the Yud Gimel Midas, which puzzles me a little. I'm not sure why they do that. Our Kohanim, so the Dubna Magid tells us that vidui is something you have to be very careful with. That in the halacha we find that we're not supposed to recite vidui in Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, there's no mention of the vidui in the entire tefillas of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. The Midas HaDin prevails. And as I've mentioned earlier, Rabbi Saul Salanter said he would have changed Yom Kippur and placed it before Rosh Hashanah. But first we should have Midas HaRachamim, and after that come to be judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not first have the judgment and then have Midas HaRachamim afterwards. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Emor, a very famous Medrash, on a pasuk that we recite in the Tfilas right before Tkiyah Shofar, Ola Elokim B'Sruah Hashem B'Kol Shofar. Right? We recited in the davening Friday night, this pasuk. So the Medrash tells us, Ola Elokim, Elokim is Midas Adin, Yud Kei Vav Kei is Midas Rachamim. Ola Elokim B'Sruah Hashem B'Kol Shofar, Ten HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on Kisei Din. And we blow the shofar to implore him to go from the Kisei Din to the Kisei Rachamim. That's the yisoid of the shofar, the Medrash says. So Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is not a time for vidui. We don't have tshuva b'chlal mentioned in the tefillahs just about. Certainly, right, vidui is one of the centerpieces of the tefillahs in Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, Bahiro Bahimotzi, it's not to be found. So how do we have a Aseres Yemei Tshuva? That's my shaila. Shulchan Aruch says this is a Aseres Yemei Tshuva. His introduction to Siman Tav Kuf Bei Beis, say the tefillahs are Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It begins with Yud Yemei Tshuva, it begins with Sif Aleph. Where's Yud Yemei Tshuva? I have 8 days of tshuva. What do we have 10 days of tshuva? That's the shaila. Now, furthermore, if I went around and I went from shul to shul, from school to school, and I asked my listeners, tell me, we have 5 Yom Tovim a year. Right? 3 Regolim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, 5 Yom Tovim a year. Could you tell me what exactly is the Avodah that we're supposed to do on each of those 5? Well, Pesach, what everyone would tell us, is to celebrate Cheirus through Rosh Hashanah, Fridus. Shavuos, Kabbalah Satora. Sukkos, the Torah itself says, Vasukkos Ushafti as B'nai Yisrael, to remember the Hashgacha Protus, the care that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Yom Kippur, that's Vayom Hashem Salachti Kidvorecha, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to bring forth the Midas Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide kapara for Klal Yisrael. That's Yom Kippur. That's the Avodah. That's the Avodah is to do tshuva. Okay. No. So, and what's the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah? So, the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is Malchias. Malchias. What's Malchias? Malchias is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Is the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. We are all the subjects. And that's the one word that is almost, is not a sentence in the Rosh Hashanah Machzor that doesn't have it, is the word Melech. Everything in the Piyutim, everything that was a Melech, 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 endlessly Melech. Nir of Malchias. The final pasuk right? We have Malchus, Zichronis, and Shefris in the Musaf of Yom Kippur, I mean of Rosh Hashanah. And in actuality, there's only one thing. It's Malchus. Zichronis and Shefris also Malchus. What does it mean to be a melech? If the melech went off and he went fishing in the South Seas and he stayed there for the next 50 years, is he a melech? Where's his malchus? Malchus means that there's a government, there are laws, and the laws are enforced. That's a malchus. Otherwise, it's not a malchus. So, Melech Mishpat Yamid Oretz. So, what Zichronis talks about the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Foyiket called Yitzurei Kedem. He examines everything that we've done in this world. Melech Mishpat Yamid Oretz. Shoifet Kol Oretz. So, that is the expression of what it means to be the melech. The melech itself, we can look at it from the distance as a melech abstractly. What it means to be a melech is that there are laws. And we have the same thing in Kriya Shema. We have Shema, Vayom Shemoya, and Vayomer. Now we can't say we recite Kriya Shema in the order in which they appear in Chumash, because Parshas Tzitzis appears way before, all the way back in Chumash Bamidbar and Parshas Shlach. Whereas the other two Parshas are Kriya Shema and Chumash Devarim. So if we were going in order, we would have started with Shema, with Parshas Tzitzis. So we're not. So what account, what is the thematic scheme of the order of Kriya Shema? So the Gemara tells us. Shema is recognition of the melech. If there is a melech, then there are laws. That's Vayom Shemaya Tishmo Mitzvosai. So, that is the direct extension of Malchus. The most immediate impact of Malchus is that the king has laws and he enforces the laws. So that's Zichronis. There's another dimension to Zichronis, but we'll come to on Rosh Hashanah. There's another aspect to it. And finally, we have Shofros. What is Shofros? What's the text of the Machzor for Shofros? Ata Negleisa Banan Kvedecho. The Rebbeinu Shlom revealed himself as Gilui Shchino at Har Sinai. V'yadata Hayoyim V'ashivo Yisrael Uvavecho Ki Hashem Hu Elokim B'Shamayim Imal V'Loretz V'Tochas Einoid. So Rashi tells us at Har Sinai, we saw clearly the entire world, this world, Olam Haba, and there was an absolute realization that there's one melech for the whole world. The Elyonim, the Tachtonim, everything is under the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's Gilui Shechino at Har Sinai. So that's also Malchus. So all the themes of Rosh Hashanah are aspects of Malchus. Malchus, Chronos, and Shefers. We're out to acknowledge the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And interestingly, we'll do this in two parts. Where does Malchus begin? What's the beginning of Malchus? Right, first we have the Kedushas Hayoyim, that part, as we have every time in the middle Brocha of Shemoneh Esrei. And then we go into Malchus. Where does Malchus begin? Aleinu l'shabayach l'adoyin akol. What does it begin with Malchus? With Aleinu l'shabayach? Because Aleinu l'shabayach and Shema Yisrael are one and the same. Doruch HaShulchan and Luchas Kriya Shema and Rechaim Kanievsky Shlita and his Siddur, both cite the fact, or Aruch HaShulchan says it is that way, Rechaim wonders, he says he hasn't seen it in Sfarim. That is in the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, when we recite Kriya Shema, we ought to have the Poshup Shat and Posuk in mind, besides any other fancy kavanas that we're supposed to have. But the simple meaning of the Posuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Rashi and Chumash says, Hashem Elokeinu, we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu today. But it'll be Hashem Echad, one day the whole world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Malchus. That's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that's Aleinu. The first half of Aleinu, until Alkei Nekava, V'arachnu Koyrim, U'mushtachav, V'yodat, Hayoim, that's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. What's the second half of Aleinu? Alkei Nekava, L'chonon, Lirois, V'heirim, V'zevetzecho, V'havig, L'monot, V'alidim, Karosi, K'reisun, V'sakeno, L'mamalchus, Shata, Shakai, V'chobon, V'osod, Yikru, V'shmecho. That's why in Siman Samachay we have the halacha is if you walk into shul and they're starting Shema, so you have to, even if you're not davening with them, you have to say the first pasuk of Shema with them, because they can't declare Malchus Shemayim. Oh, that's for them. I don't have anything to do with it. No, we can't, you know, stand on the side. We also have to declare Malchus Shemayim. So in Simam Samachay there's a machzah shekel etzaita minug, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it lahalacha that if you walk into shul and they're saying aleinu, you have to say aleinu with them. And he brings it right there in Simam Samachay. There's an inyan with Ashrei, which is a different parasha that doesn't have to do with this. This is brought in the same Simam as saying Kriya Shema, saying the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, because that's what it is. Aleinu l'shabeach is the long form, and Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu is the short form. But they both say exactly the same thing. So we begin Malchus with Shema in effect, then we end Malchus with Shema. Now, what do we mean Hashem Echad? It means the ultimate Malchus is when Hashem is recognized by everyone. The Gro writes the following. He writes in Chumash that the brothers of Yosef said to him, with all his dreams, which seemed to suggest that he was going to be a ruler, a monarch. So they told him, "Amolach timloch aleinu imashol timshol bono." So what is this double phrase? "Amolach timloch aleinu imashol timshol bono." So the Vilna Gaon writes the following: a melech rules with the consent of the governed. A Moshe is someone that asserts himself over a country, over a population, without the acquiescence of the people. So that's what the brothers said to Yosef. Hamalach timloch aleinu, do you think we're going to appoint you king? That's certainly not happening. Elamai, hamoshol timshol bono, you think you're going to suppress us, repress us, and you're going to lord over us? That's also not going to happen. Well, you know, what do you have in your head? What are you thinking about? So that's the difference between a melech and a moishel. Malchi is, the Rebbe Shalom is today, Kila Hashem hamlucha or moishel bagoyim. Hashem is ultimately the melech, but presently is moishel bagoyim. It's without their acknowledgement. That's the full expression of Malchus. Until then, it's a Malchus Kitia. It's a Malchus which is fractured, because he has the power, but he's not recognized. Now, it's a very interesting thing, and meaning that the ultimate Malchus is only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Echad, Melech HaKol Haaretz. And that explains a very, very fascinating thing in the Machsa. We have a tefillah that the Shliach Tzibur says, Hayino b'fio shluch hayamcha Yisrael. Where is that tefillah? You have the Machsa? Where's that tefillah? I'll tell you where it is. It's in between the two halves of Aleinu. And it's even written in the Machse, this is a reshus, this is the Shliach Tzibur asking the Rabbeinu Shalom's permission before he begins Malchus. Very nice. So why in the world is it before Alki and the Kava? If I wrote the Machse, I would have put that Yen up before Aleinu. Smack in the middle. But the answer is the ultimate Malchus that we're talking about on Rosh Hashanah, Vesimlo Chato Hashem Levadech, Al Kol Haaretz, is when he's Al Kol Haaretz. And till then, it's a Malchus Ketir. So the ultimate Malchus is the that we're talking about, and that's what we're talking about on Rosh Hashanah, is the Malchus of Al Kol Yesh V'Sevo. And therefore, the Chazan begins, that's where he's really beginning his Tfilis. What we're imploring the Rabbeinu Shalom is the Hashem Echad. That's the thrust of the Malchus. Not that we've recognized the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we must palo, we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu to bring forth the Hashem Echad. So therefore, the Tfila for the Shliach Tzibur, Hayeinu and Pifiyos, smack in the middle of Aleinu, a Dvar Pela. Admamash a Dvar Pela. But the Fizet, it's Muzbar Ma'id, it's extremely logical why it is the way it is. But if you look at the Machzor, it's astounding. That Hayeinu Pifiyos is smack in the middle of Aleinu.
Never thought about it. That's a
set. You know, I was going through, you know, I watched it, I gone through it, and just, I found it astounding. That this. So this is Malchus. Malchus. So Malchus is the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For us and for the whole world. In Yeshiva in Kelim, he used to hang a sign on the door, Chodesh Adar. And the sign said the following: what is the greatest existential threat to a Malchus? A schism among the population. If the population is divided, if there's not unity among the people, if internally you're divided, then the country is extremely weak. The country can only be strong if the population is united behind the king. Then you can have a strong country. So in Kelim, they used to hang up a sign, Rosh Chodesh Elul, that we're preparing 1 month hence to be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To make a melech, the population has to be united. So we have to be Ba'achtas. So we have to work on Achtas in the month of Elul. That's the only way we could be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that realization that we're coming to be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the essence of what Rosh Hashanah is. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamluch, to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech for us and ultimately a Melech for the entire world. Now, we find the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav. The Gemara disputes what is appropriate vidui. How to say vidui? Is it enough to say chatona? We've sinned, or we need to be mefarat echet to individualize, to specify the chet that we've done. So it's a machleikus in the Gemara, and it seems to be it's a machleikus also with the Rishonim exactly how we paskin. Now the Rambam is interesting, because the Rambam paskins both of them. The Rambam right at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva writes that one has to be mefarat chet. And then later on, the Rambam writes that chatonu is a weaker avidui. That's a shmuz for a different day, how to reconcile these two. But the Rambam chooses both. Ikar Avidu is chatonu, and then he writes out at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Tzorach Lefar Nachet, you need specificity. Okay? That's a shmuz for another day, how to reconcile these two Rambams. This is a Me'iri. The Me'iri wrote a Chibur HaTshuva. A big, thick sefer on Tshuva, the Me'iri wrote. It's part of the set of the Me'iri, it's called Chibur HaTshuva. In Chibur HaTshuva, the Meiri tells us something very fascinating. He quotes the Gaonim, and as the one that edited the Sefer made a note, he says, I don't know where it is in the Gaonim, I haven't found it. The only source that I found for this citation is the Meiri himself, quoting the Gaonim. But we don't seem to have a Sefer yet from the Gaonim that has it. So this question, do we need a general statement, Chotono, or do we need a specific statement? I'll hate this, and I'll hate this, and the next I'll hate. So the Meiri quotes the Gaonim, and he says the following. There are two types of tshuva that one could do. There's wholesale tshuva, tshuva klolos, and tshuva protos, and retail tshuva. So if you do tshuva klolos on the wholesale, so you say chatonu, and that's it. Put everything into one statement. If you do tshuva retail, then you have to spell out each this and this and this and this and this, etc. That's what the Meiri writes. It's a puzzling Meiri. It does not really explain to us what's tshuva klolos and what's tshuva protos. And the question is rather self-evident. If you go to buy something, you go to buy a computer, and you have two dealers, one next to each other. One's a retailer, one's a wholesaler. And the wholesaler lets you come in and buy retail from him. You can buy at the wholesale price. So which one are you going into? Right? Every rational person would go into the wholesale place. So if we have tshuva in two ways, retail and wholesale, so why in the world would anyone do tshuva retail? Just do tshuva wholesale. It's a lot neater, easier. Just do chatonu, chatonu, chatosi, alisi, pashati. It's all over. That's it. Finished vidi. So why bother with the retail tshuva? Elamai, we have to understand what is wholesale tshuva and what's retail tshuva. And then we'll understand why we just can't march into the wholesale store. The Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was an ultimate master of the halacha. I mean, he wrote on Kol HaTorah Kula, all six storm halacha lemaisa. Right, he said once, he told Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer that if they open the Beis HaMikdash tomorrow, I could pasken every shayla for every avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, how it has to be done. I'm ready. So he is most famous for his voluminous pshatim and shas. But he wrote a small kuntras called Chazon Ish on Amunah and Bitochon. It was in his house in a little notebook, you know, and if you became, that was one of the rites of passage when you became an accepted Talmud, like he'd let you read it. So, it's a small kuntras on Amunah and Bitochon, very fascinating. Talks about Amunah, different subjects. Very fascinating. But don't, unless you know, have a good grasp of modern Ivrit, don't try to read it. It's not written in a rabbinic Ivrit, it's written in modern Ivrit. Very lyrical, very poetic. So in the Kuntres and Amunah Bitochon, he writes the following. He says, the reality is, he says, all tshuva, no matter what we have done, comes down to one thing. There's one thing you need to do to become a Baal tshuva. It doesn't make a difference what you did. So it's b'chal shabbos, chalila, yei treif, whatever. He said, loshen hara, oivel leisoinu, he anguished someone. The tshuva for all of them is one thing. If we would truly recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and we're his subjects, then that's it. That would be the end of all chatan. We wouldn't sin. Our problem is that we don't so fully recognize the Rabbeinu Shalom remains somewhat abstract, and we don't recognize the Rabbeinu Shalom fully. But if we recognize the Rabbeinu Shalom fully, so he's the melech and I'm the eved, and that's the end of all the chatan. That's tshuva. That's it. That's all you need to do tshuva. He said, so why did the Balei Musar You open up Orchos Tzadikim, right? They had like 40 chapters, this meter, that meter, the next meter. Why did they break it down in that fashion? Says they broke it down that way because it's a lot easier to work on in that fashion than in any other way. So what the Chazon Ish is telling us is the following. I could conceivably do tshuva for all my chatan in 1 second. If I could fully acknowledge the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and it would resonate throughout the whole being that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Melech and I'm his Eved, that's it. I would have tshuva shleima in 5 seconds. But it's not so easy to achieve that. That I feel it in every fiber of my being is being subjugated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on an intellectual and an emotional level. He says, what do we have to do? It's easier to work on each manifestation of each thing which is improper and fix up that improper manifestation. Because the klal is very hard to fix in one fell swoop. And I think that's essentially is the difference between tshuva klalus and tshuva protis, between wholesale tshuva and retail tshuva. Yeah, if I want to do wholesale tshuva, well, I could do it. But go ahead. Not so easy to do. It's a lot easier to say, well, listen, I can be more careful about the way I speak, and I'll try not to speak Lashon Hara. So I may not have resolved the ultimate root of all my chatoim, is that I don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully, that's true. But at least I'll speak less Lashon Hara than I spoke until now, that I could do. So, that's the question. And I believe that that's what the Meiri means. Tshuva klolos, recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully, completely, and absolutely. That's it. Chatanu, and that's it. Finished. That's it. But it's not so easy to do. When we're not ready to do tshuva in that fashion, then we need the old al-chaitz. So I thought, and I found in the writings of Rav Chatzka Levinstein Zatzal, the great Mashkiach of Mir Ponovich, says it, that that's the avodah of Rosh Hashanah. The avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to do tshuva on the klal, on the ultimate shirish of the chet, of all the chatar. And that is, we lack the proper understanding of Malchus. So Rosh Hashanah, we're involved with Malchus. That's what we're involved with. And to the extent that we raise our consciousness of Malchus, to that extent we've done tshuva in its own way, in its own right. That's the klal. In Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we're busy with the details, which are a lot easier to deal with than to just deal with the klal itself. But Rosh Hashanah is involved with the klal. As I mentioned to you once before, from Ramei HaChodesh Zatzal, the Chevra de Mashgiach. So the biography about him, written by his daughter, Rebbe Tzin Azrachi, so she writes the following, that Ramei HaChodesh Zatzal, Mr. Shiva Moro Chamana, was friendly with him. So he was learning in Chevra Yeshiva, and his Chevra decided that it would be a good idea, you know, they should incorporate the study of Sefer Chofetz Chaim. So they should, you know, be careful about speaking Lashon Hara. But it's a yeshiva, it's not a shtibel. So before you do something, you have to go ask Rishus of the Mashgiach before you do anything in yeshiva. So the Chevra said to him, no, Moshe, he says, your father's the Mashgiach, you go ask him, you know. So he went to his father, and his father was not so enthusiastic about it. So he said, what's the issue? He asked his father. I mean, the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, the Chofetz Chaim wrote it. We're learning the Chofetz Chaim Sefer. What's your real hesitancy about us incorporating that? He says, my hesitancy? I'll tell you, it's very simple. because you're addressing the symptoms rather than the disease. You're addressing the fact, you're granting the fact, listen, we have the desire to speak Lashon Hara, so we should do something about it. Very nice. But before you do that, don't you think you should first address the reason that you want to speak Lashon Hara? Shouldn't that be the first thing you should want to address? He says, why do you want to speak Lashon Hara? Because we lack sufficient Avas Yisrael. So I think the first thing you should work on is augmenting the Avas Yisrael. After that, yeah, learn Sefer Chofetz Chaim, but don't go to the symptoms, deal with the shirish, the root of the problem. Then you'll treat the symptoms. But first, deal with the root of the problem. So that's the yisoid, that the tshuva Rosh Hashanah is to deal with the shirish, with the root of all the chatoah, that we don't fully acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After that, we'll deal with the symptoms and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So Dekar Boisai is why we have Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is not with the Vidu, you're not with the Alchin, you don't have the Alchaitz. Rosh Hashanah is to deal with the root cause of Chet. The manifestations of Chet, that's the rest of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's very interesting. There's a pilpul among the Achroinim about Avinu Malkeinu. Some object to the first line of Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu Chotonu Lufanecha, that that's already inappropriate vidui for Rosh Hashanah. In the Nusach that we have, we recite it. But it's interesting that in the first two lines of Avinu Malkeinu, we have the whole tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. Avinu Malkeinu Chotonu Lufanecha, what's the next line? Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lonu Melech Alot. That's it. That's the whole story of Rosh Hashanah is in those two lines. That's it. What's the derech of tshuva for the chet for Rosh Hashanah? Is Ein Lonu Melech Alot. The recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shofar is not only utilitarian in the sense of a invoking the Ribbono Shel Olam to go from the Kisei Din to the Kisei Rachamim, but we need even to ask ourselves further, how exactly does that take place? Why does the shofar succeed? What is there about the shofar? Now the shofar, Rav Sadia writes 10 different reasons that we blow shofar, a famous piece from Rav Sadia. Among the reasons that Rav Sadia writes, upon the coronation of the king, they blow with trumpets to announce his coronation. So the shofar is to acknowledge the coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe he also invokes Rav Sadia, Maimar Har Sinai. And that was Maimar Har Sinai. Maimar Har Sinai was the heralding the arrival of the Shechinah, of the king. That's what we're the psukim in the Torah from Shofars. The psukim are from Matan Torah. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam came. He revealed himself on Har Sinai. The coming of the Shechinah is announced by the Kol Shofar. So Shofars is also Malchias. Shofars is also Malchias. And that's why we blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Is a statement of Malchus. And that's the schus. The schus that the Ribbono Shel Olam should go from Kisei Rachamim Din to Kisei Rachamim is being makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. That's the schus. Since we recognize him as Melech, so Mameila, we have the schus that in that recognition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he goes from Kisei, then to Kisei Racham. We find in the Gemara the opposite. The Gemara talks about the fact by Bilam, what did Bilam want to do? So Bilam, what was Bilam's trick? Bilam had a trick. He was very good with his trick, but he had a trick. Bilam's koyach, the curse, was rooted in the fact that he had a sensitivity, or an insight into what was going on in Beis Din Shel Maila. What went on upstairs? So what did he do? He says, every day there's at least some point HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to be this Adin. Why? Because he sees all the people in the world that get up and worship the sun. The Oivir Avoy the Zorah. So it brings forth to me this Adin. So Bilam had absolutely good timing. He was sensitive spiritually to when the Midas Adin came forth, and that's when he would curse. And the Midas Adin would be effective. So, even if it was, the Midas Adin lasted apparently even just for a moment. So Tosis even asks, what type of klolik are they given a moment? He said, Kalem, destroy them, that's all. So we see in fact that what brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Kisei Rachamim to the Kisei Din is Avodah Zarah, which is rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should work in the opposite direction, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Kisei Din to the Kisei Rachamim. So that's also Malchus. So the whole Shofar is Malchus. So everything about that tefillah is Malchus. The Malchus of Chonos and Shofars is Malchus. The Shofar is Malchus. Because through that, through the Malchus, is to inspire us to do tshuva before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we have to understand the Shulchan Aruch, Aseres Yimei Teshuva. There are Aseres Yimei Teshuva. And in those days, that's why we say HaMelech HaKodesh. Because the essence of these days is to deal with the Malchus of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. The essence of the Nusach HaTfilah that we mispalo for in Rosh Hashanah. We have a big addition in the Brocha, in the third Brocha of Shemoneh Esrei. Uvechein tein pachtecho, etc. V'simloch ato Hashem levadecho. The essence of the Tfilah of Rosh Hashanah is the revelation of Malchus Hashem. That's at the core of the tefillahs. And it's interesting, the Yestra we saw Salanta, if one should be mispala for his personal needs on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, should he be mispala for his own needs? So he answered very, very interestingly. And I'll give you a hakdama of the story from the Kotzker Rebbe, because that'll put it in full illumination. The Kotzker Rebbe once came to a very wealthy man's house. And, you know, everything was well appointed and lavish. And, you know, Shabbos, they served Kiyar HaMelech. you know, many dishes, fancy dishes. Rich man. And each time they brought a new dish and put it down on the table before they ate, they would all say, L'shem Kedusha Shabbos. So the Kotzke is there, and he sees one course goes by, a second course, a third course. This is L'shem Kedusha Shabbos. Bring the next course, and the Kotzke Rebbe says, L'shem my stomach. So he asked the Kotzke Rebbe, that's not so nice. He says, you're right. He says, but at least it's true. So Rabbi Saul Salanter said the following. We have to be sincere in our treatise. Otherwise, it lacks an emes, if we're not sincere. So he says, can we state that in our level that we're more concerned for the Rabbanu Shalom's covet and malchus in this world than for my needs? I could daven for the Rabbanu Shalom. My needs? Not important. Don't even mention them. Yeah, we're ready for that. He says that would be insincere in our tefillas. He says, Mameila, if we want to have some measure of sincerity in our tefillah about malchus Hashem, first we need to worry about the things that we need. If we worry about the things that we need, okay, listen, Rabbeinu Shalom, besides that, it would be a nice idea that we should have Malchus Hashem too. But to put our needs totally to the side, then listen, my panos is not important, this is not important, the next thing is not important, well, it's only Malchus Hashem is important. He says, that's insincere. As the Kotzke said, it may not be the nicest, but at least it's true. So therefore we invoke personal needs. Because if you look, it's very interesting. The entire tefillah does not mention any personal needs. Zero. I believe in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Where do we have the personal needs mentioned? By the additions of the Ga'inim, the Ga'inic additions. Zachreinu, Michamecha, Chsoiv, Sefer, which are additions by the Ga'inim. Those added, so maybe already, according to Rabbi Saul, the Ga'inim already felt, you know, the Yerida of the Deiros, that, you know, we were no longer capable of just being Mispalaka for Kvod Shamayim. So the Ga'inim already made the additions, but they're snuck into the Shmoneh Esrei, they're not in the principal text. I mean, that's why Halacha with Paskin, Tosfos and Megillah says otherwise, but the world did not agree with Tosfos. Tosfos held that they may ikra tefillah, and if you left them out, you have to daven again. There's a Tosfos and Megillah. But Lemaisa, there was not mekubal halacha at all like Tosfos. They're considered ga'inic additions, and they're certain they can't be ma'akev the tefillah, and if you left them out, we don't daven again. And that's all the personal bakoshas that we have in the text of the tefillah were snuck in by the ga'inim. Were not in part of the nusach of Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. So, because the essence of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that we succeed in recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that be the schus that the Rabbeinu Shalom grant us all the things that we need. Be'ezus Hashem, a good kibben shtyorah.